The following program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you here until midnight tonight. And I hope you'll stick with us and join in the conversation here this evening. And it's good to be with you here tonight. Glad to be with you here tonight as well. And I hope you had an enjoyable Thanksgiving Day. And if you're feeling like I'm feeling, you're probably feeling like the Thanksgiving turkey about now, well stuffed. And I just really enjoyed the opportunity to celebrate and also thank God for the many blessings. Because think about it, you know, we probably, not trying to put a downer on Thanksgiving, but probably on Thanksgiving and the day after, we probably throw away more food, I think, than some third world people eat in a year when you think about it in terms of the amount of food, in particular meat and stuff that we throw away. But, we certainly try to freeze a bit of the turkey, and you go through all that stuff, then you can always pull something out of the freezer later on and enjoy that. But, just thankful for the bounty that we have in this country. You go to some parts of the world and you look at the shelves, and they just do not have the amount of food that we have, and they don't have the selection that we have. My wife and I, when we were missionaries in the Samoan Islands, one of the things we quickly learned is when they had something on the shelf, if you thought that you might like it now or at any time in the foreseeable future, you should buy it, because there's no guarantee it'll be there the next time or ever again, some items. So we would buy it whenever we could. But we really are blessed here in this country with the bounty and the provision that we have, the food that's available to us, and then the freedom that we have to be doing the things that we do, the elections that we have, whether or not your candidate won, you had the freedom to vote. And then, of course, the freedom that we have to worship together in the church of our choice here on Sunday morning, or not to. You know, some parts of the world, you're not allowed to not attend religious services. And then, of course, it's compulsory which types you do attend. And there's penalties for not. And we have that freedom. And then, of course, there's the freedom to be on the air here tonight with the radio program. I don't have to worry about being thrown off the air because I might talk about something that the government doesn't like. And if that were the case, there'd be a lot of people off the air before I would be. So we have a tremendous amount of freedom in this country to be thankful for. And then, of course, the blessings of God in our lives, and certainly, most importantly, the blessing of salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. Well, like I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and we're going to open our program this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity we have to be on the air. We do thank you for the freedom that we enjoy to be able to do this. Thank you for making it possible, Lord, and we just pray that you would bless the program tonight. Use it for your glory. Help us to be an encouragement and a help to those listening tonight, we pray, and help us to point people to Christ through the things that we talk about. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, again, it's good to be with you tonight. And if you want to get on the program tonight, join in the conversation with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our toll-free number, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here this evening. And also, reminder that you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And in addition to that, you can also check us out on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, which is Live with Pastor Al as well. And you can find that at Facebook. And also on my Facebook page, I have my turkey hunt picture posted there. Some of you have seen that, and we've gotten a good chuckle out of that. But you can find that there on my on my, if you're interested in that, you can see the 20-pound turkey that I bagged in time for Thanksgiving. Real authentic. And a lot of people kid me and they say it looked easy, but you know, you would not believe how many store clerks and store managers I had to sneak by with my shotgun in order to bag that thing in the frozen food aisle. But you'll see the picture there on Facebook. So if you want to check that out at Facebook Live with Pastor Al, you can find that. If you can't find it right away or search for us on Facebook, go to our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And there is a link there to our Facebook page as well. So, of course, we put the turkey hunt picture up there with a little, more than a little tongue-in-cheek there, I think. I think it was firmly with a drumstick in cheek on that one. But but we had fun doing it. At any rate, I hope that you had a blessed Thanksgiving and opportunity to thank God for the blessings that He's bestowed upon you in your life, as we were talking before. But there's also a lot of things going on, and we're in this kind of interlude now between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and a lot of people making their plans already, getting ready for Christmas. And let me just encourage you, as you get caught up with all the shopping and the hectic things that as you get closer to Christmas, just try and remember to keep Christ center in your focus of what you do for Christmas. And we know you got things to do with your family and all that, but we wouldn't have Christmas if it wasn't for Jesus Christ coming into this world. And we're talking with some folks at the nursing home today, and they were talking about how, well, every day for a Christian should be Thanksgiving. And I said, well, yeah, every day should be Christmas Day as well. And then we thought about it. We said, well, every day should be Easter as well. Those three holidays for a Bible-believing Christian, every day should be Christmas, Easter, and Thanksgiving. And we remember that Christ was born. We remember that He sacrificed Himself, was as He died on the cross to shed His blood to pay for our sins, that He was buried and rose again the third day victorious over sin and death. And then we can give thanks for all of that and the things that God has done for us. So, but we hope you had a good time. And let's see, there's a number of things that we can get into here this evening, but we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone lines are open, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we can get you on the air here this evening with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Love to hear from you tonight. And, let's see. We're going to, what else do we want to, I wanted to mention here this evening. Wanted to mention, I had it right here just a minute ago. I was looking at an article earlier today, and I don't know why I keep getting this on my cell phone. I've got one of those Android smartphones, and it always wants to send me these links to these articles. I think it's called Flipboard, if you're familiar with that app. And always keeps wanting to send me this article that I've already read for this idea that the universe may exist inside of the mind of a super advanced alien. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, you know, this is amazing. We've talked about evolution, we've talked about creation, origins, and things like that on a program from time to time, and we've alluded to it, even had some programs dealing with it in more depth. I've even got some things on our webpage at livewithpastoral.com that to deal with some of this, some excerpts from some of our past programs and such. But the thing that I found interesting with this is this concept that some people are trying to put forward as a potentially serious concept, that because they've essentially reached a point where through mathematics and various things, they've pretty much shown the evidence that there's simply not enough time for the universe to have come into existence on its own. There's simply not enough of a probability, given the laws of physics and also looking at quantum physics and all that, for the world to come into the universe and the world to come into existence on its own, let alone you and I. And in order to try and overcome this. They've tried various ways to try and make the universe old enough, but they can't make it old enough. And so they come with various problems. So they some time ago hit upon the multiverse theory and figured that, well, if there's an infinite variety of universes, then even the most remote possibility has to come true somewhere, and we just happen to be in one of those remote possibilities. But by the very notion, if it's an infinite number of universes, then there should be an infinite number of remote possibilities that came true by virtue of logic. And so there's various reasons why the multiverse doesn't so much work either, and a lot of physicists have gotten rid of that as well and think of it as kind of a non-starter. But one of the latest things that they're kicking around is this idea that we might exist within the mind of some super advanced intelligent being. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but as a Bible-believing Christian, I believe that there is a super intelligent being called God that spoke us into existence. Now, why is that unscientific and the stuff of myth and fable? But if I say there's a certain advanced alien being, let's call him Zaduk or something like that, and we exist because we were imagined by Zaduk, that's somehow scientific. But if I say, no, God created us as a product of his imagination and his creative power, then that's not scientific. But if I believe that Zaduk created me by a power of his imagination and his creative powers, then that's somehow scientific because I went from God to Zaduk or something like that. You know, it always reminds me of when in my back in my college days at Colorado State University in my senior level forest biology course, where the professor at the end of the course said, you know, there's only two explanations for how we got here. One is special creation and the other is evolution. He said he believed evolution because the only alternative was special creation, and he did not want to believe that. And that's what it comes down to. It's a series of choices of what you want to believe, and you have to try and decide, well, which one makes more sense? Does it make more sense to say in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, or does it make more sense to say in the beginning Zaduk created the heavens and the earth, or in the beginning the singularity created the heavens and the earth, or in the beginning the multiverse created the heavens and the earth? What are we going to put in there? Author David Hunt one time said, you know, you look at it, there's basically two choices, either an eternal something with unlimited potential brought everything into existence, or an eternal someone with unlimited power brought everything into existence. And I believe it's the eternal someone, and I don't believe it's Zaduk. I believe it's God, Jehovah God of the Bible, that brought us into existence. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And as Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Well, you can give us a call tonight if you want to join in the conversation here at 888-677-9673. And we've got David calling in tonight. And David, welcome to the program tonight.
Hey, Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Woo!
Hey, glad to have you on with us. With David, too.
always try to listen to you, but I always got to be at work at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'll turn you on for a little bit and fall asleep.
Well, I put a lot of people to sleep. I do it at church. I do it on the radio. I'm used to it. So.
Well, I think it's just the way I am.
I know. It's the late night hour for a lot of people.
Yeah, I got to be. Well, now I'm laid off, so I'm up, and I finally get a chance to call you.
Well, I'm glad you did. Welcome.
I was just wondering, is there a scripture in Revelation or anywhere in the Bible that says that that only the ones that will be saved, there's something about, excuse me, my throat's messing up here, that it's written before the foundation of the world that only you have to have your name is written in the book of life before the foundation of the world. Is there any kind of scripture in Revelation or anywhere else that says that?
Yeah, we'll look one of those up. And there are some scriptures to that effect, but we have to be careful when we look at that we don't misapply that
because it doesn't mean passage. God just because he's so sovereign, he just knows beforehand who's going to be saved and who isn't.
Well, I would put it this way: because God exists outside of time and space, he knows beforehand. Because see, one of the and this is opposed to simply using the term that he's sovereign, which God is sovereign. But some people who say that God is sovereign, they say that because he's sovereign, he decrees everything that's going to take place. And in effect, nobody has any free will because nothing happens unless God wills it to happen. And so there's that's not exactly what the Bible says. And I can touch on something there in a minute. But when we and I'm trying to get my Bible program here to work today, and I can't get the search function to work here. And
why are you looking for that? Because a friend of mine always argues with me. I think he's kind of like a Calvinist.
Yes.
And well, you can't choose to be, you know, saved, but you can't ask the Lord to save you and all that. And he says God's going to save some people and some people he ain't. And I always tell him, well, what's the point of creating, you know, race of human beings and only saving some and letting the other ones perish? That wouldn't make any sense. And he just, go back and forth. And he's trying to say, well, you can't ask to be saved. God either saves you or he don't, is what he believes.
Yeah, and the problem with that is the Bible says you have to ask.
No.
You know, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yeah, I get and, that scripture and several others, and he just, you know.
Yeah, let me
dig up all these other scriptures trying to, you know, counteract what I'm telling them. And
yeah, and see what happens is a lot of people mistakenly think that you have to either be a Calvinist or an Arminian, which is sort of the opposite. I know we're getting a little bit away from your question about the Lamb's Book of Life, but the idea is people think it's like on a sliding scale from left to right. You know, you're either the Calvinist that believes in eternal security and that God decrees everything that takes place, or the opposite end of the spectrum is that you're an Arminian, which is the type of person that believes you can lose your security, and it and a lot depends on your free will choice and things like that. And the trouble is, Calvinism originally got off the ground by John Calvin, who, as a young man in his 20s, who had studied to be a Roman Catholic lawyer, this is before he even left Catholicism, started looking at some passages in the Bible that he had trouble with as an unsaved person. And he couldn't understand them, and he was struggling to try and understand them in light of human reasoning rather than being directed by the Holy Spirit of God. And then, assuming that he truly did get born again, he carried that faulty system of thinking with him, and so he developed this series that whether or not he took it this extreme, but other people certainly took it to the extreme that everything that happens, happens because God decrees it. Nobody gets saved unless God created them to get saved, and people who don't get saved because God created them to populate the lake of fire for all eternity. And,
another thing he believes is that hell doesn't exist, and you're
I guess if you took out all the references to hell in the Bible, you could say, well, there's no reference to hell in the Bible, you know, except that there's a lot of references to it. The idea that just because you believe in eternal security means that you have to be a Calvinist isn't necessarily true. And eternal security is God gave us eternal life, which by definition is eternal. In John chapter 10, he said, I give you eternal life and you shall never perish, which in the Greek is a real deep statement that means you'll never perish. And then it says, no man shall pluck them out of my hand. And if you could, as the Arminian says, pluck yourself out of God's hand, you would have to be greater than him. And Jesus would have been a liar because he said, no man, that would include you, could pluck even yourself out of his hand. And so the Arminians, they went to the opposite extreme with free will and some other things. But the real position is a biblical position, the biblicist position. And I used to think I was kind of a mild Calvinist because I believed in eternal security. I didn't believe you could lose your salvation. So I thought, well, I must be at least like a one-point Calvinist or something like that. I was trying to put myself on this line until I discovered that you didn't have to be on the line. It's if you think of a triangle, and if you think of the biblical position that allows for God's sovereign will and man's free will, it allows for eternal security. It allows for the free choice to accept Christ or not, and it begins to make perfect sense. And a lot of these problems that the Calvinists and the Arminianists struggle with, it starts to make some of these things a lot more sensible. And we think of the idea that I'm trying to think where Jesus was, where he was going into Jerusalem, and he was looking at the city, and he was talking about how he would have called them unto him as a hen calls their chicks, and they wouldn't come to him. And when you think of that passage there, two passages, Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. And there's a second passage similar to that in Luke chapter 13. But look at this for just a minute here. What Jesus is saying here, and Jesus is God in the flesh, he says, how often would I have gathered thy children together? He is saying, this is what my will was. How often my will was that I would gather thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. That's what he's saying when, how often would I have gathered? He's expressing his will. This is God's will. Just like when the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then he says this, and ye would not, meaning you willed not to.
Well,
so,
what he said,
what's that?
This guy that I'm talking to, what he says about that God's not willing that any should perish, he'll say, well, any of the
elect. Yeah, they read words into the Bible that aren't there. See,
like the one where... Jesus says, I've come into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And mm-hmm. he'll say, well, those are all, he says,
of the elect.
Only the ones that are in the world that he's chosen.
Oh, yeah, and they would take John 3:16, where it says, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And they really believe that means that whosoever of the elect should not, and they have to read that into the Bible. And the end logical result of Calvinism is that God created everything, decreed everything, ordained everything that has ever taken place. Every mass murderer was created by God to be a mass murderer, and God in eternity past decided the terrible things that they would do. God orchestrated the lies that would be told. God orchestrated every evil act that would ever take place and ordained that it takes place. That makes God a monster. And it also says that God is going to place some people in heaven simply because he created them to populate heaven, and then he's going to place other people in hell because he created them to go to hell because he created them to reject Christ. And so, in effect, they're rejecting something that's never theirs to believe in the first place, and that in hell throughout eternity, they're going to praise God that they're suffering because they're doing what God created them to do. Those are the end results of Calvinism. Most Calvinists don't go that far, but that's the end result of it if you follow it to its logical progression. How much better simply to believe the Bible, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, not of the elect, whosoever of the world shall call upon the name of the elect. Whatever man, woman, or child realizes their sin and believes that Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for their sin, if they're willing to trust him as their Savior, they can be saved. And Now, the Calvinist says, well, how can somebody who's dead in, you know, dead in sin awake to the gospel? Well, only because God gives them enlightenment. Don't have time to go there, but Hebrews chapter 6 talks about an unsaved person who's enlightened, who partakes of the Holy Spirit, who tastes of the heavenly gift and the powers to come. They see the truth, and then they spit it out and say, I don't want it. Well, they can't be saved when they're rejecting what they don't want. But they're enlightened. That's why we as believers pray for unsaved people, because left to themselves, there's none that seeketh after God, no, not one, the Bible says. So we have to pray for them. And when we pray for them, the Holy Spirit moves on their heart and opens their eyes so that they can see the truth of the gospel and that they have the opportunity to get saved. But when they see the truth of the gospel, they know and understand what the gospel is, then it's their responsibility with their free will to choose whether or not to accept Christ. Now, God, outside of time, knows already what somebody is going to do, but his act of knowing does not make him orchestrate it like the Calvinists teach. And see, they limit God. They cannot understand how God can be God and understand all these things. They limit him to man's version of something, of a God that they can understand with man's understanding. But God said his ways are not our ways. His ways are above our ways. And God exists outside of time. He sees past, present, and future at every moment as just as real to him as this moment is to you and I right now. And the Calvinists just simply can't comprehend it. They want to limit God to the time schedule that we're under and say, well, if he knows what's going to happen, it's because he's going to make it happen. Well, I know the sun's going to come up tomorrow morning. Does that mean I'm going to make it come up? You see, I mean, it's and there's too many logical flaws in both Calvinism and Arminianism. Better to accept the biblical position. God gave us the means of salvation. Oh, go ahead. Just got 20 seconds.
I hear you're going to commercial. I'll be quick and get off here. There was a time a while back when I turned you on. This is like maybe a year or two ago or something. Yeah. And I started listening to you, and you'll start off with some news.
Sorry. Got to catch you right there. But thanks for listening, and stay tuned.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.com. livewithpastoral.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and we'll be with you until midnight here tonight. And I just wanted to mention that our telephone lines are open. You can give us a call here this evening, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'd love to hear from you tonight. And just also wanted to mention as well, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can go, that's our website, or you can go to our Facebook page. Our Facebook page, of course, is Live with Pastor Al as well, and you can check us out there. And we have a number of things on Facebook that aren't on our website necessarily, but you can find that on Facebook at Live with Pastor Al. And you can link to Live with Pastor Al on our Facebook from our webpage as well, livewithpastoral.com. Also want to mention to you, not only are we brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor, but also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. They're located at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights, Ohio, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call them for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And if you're out of the area and maybe you're interested in starting your own pizza business or adding pizza to an existing restaurant and you're looking for a great pizza recipe, why don't you call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Ask for Gus. He can help you get started. It's his own recipe. It's not a franchise. And he can help you get started for a lot less than what you might think possible. That's East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. And I also want to mention, looking ahead, if you're not doing anything on Christmas morning, our church is having our Christmas candlelight service, seems odd, Sunday morning, Christmas Day. Now, there's a reason for it. Normally, we have a Christmas Eve candlelight service, and we were talking because we also have a Friday night Bible study, and certainly encourage you, if you're in Northeast Ohio, we're right midway between Akron and Cleveland. I mean, we're almost exactly halfway. We're right where Interstate 77 and Interstate 80 cross. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express right there, and if you're in Northeast Ohio, we invite you to stop in. We have a Friday night Bible study from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock every Friday night. It's just an informal group. We have refreshments, and it's sort of like the radio program. Actually, the radio program got its start as a result of our Friday night Bible study. People bring questions, and we just talk about current events in light of God's Word. We talk about questions about the Bible. We talk about questions about theology. We talk about questions about doctrine, all kinds of things. Whatever questions people have, it's not people show up and I say, well, tonight's lesson is. No, it's whatever questions people have when we get there. Sometimes we'll cover a dozen questions in one night. Sometimes we'll just look at one question all night long. And sometimes we'll deal more with current events in light of the Bible. Sometimes we'll deal more with theological questions, just like we do on the radio show. But I invite you to come for that. But on Christmas Day, because we have our Friday night Bible study, rather than have Friday night Bible study Friday night, we normally have a Christmas Eve candlelight service on Christmas Eve. But since Christmas Eve is on Saturday night between our Friday night Bible study and Sunday, we thought it would be easier for people and more people would be able to attend if instead of doing our candlelight service on Christmas Eve, we just move it to Christmas morning. We're having church on Christmas morning. We have our regular schedule, Sunday school Bible study at 10 o'clock in the morning, morning service at 11 o'clock, and then our evening service at 6 o'clock in the evening. Still going to the nursing home that day. The people at the nursing home are there whether it's Christmas or not. They're not going anywhere. And so we'll still be on the radio Sunday night. And we will be here live on the radio. And we've done that on Christmas nights before. We've done that on Christmas Eves before. We've done that on New Year's Eves, New Year's Days before. I was telling a friend of mine, he was saying, are you going to have church on Sunday? And I said, yeah. And then I said, if I was thinking, I would have joked and said, yeah, but we're not having it on New Year's Day. I mean, you just can't have church on New Year's Day, right? No, no, we're having church on New Year's Day as well. And, but we're having a special, what we do on our candlelight service, and we figure we can do it on Sunday morning and during our morning service at 11 o'clock. We sing some Christmas songs, and we have a time where we read through a little thing that I put together some years ago when my wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands. I put together a thing for our Christmas Eve service down there, basically looking at the birth of Christ as it's recorded in the scriptures. Some time ago, I found a little booklet, and somebody had attempted to bring together some parts from the different Gospels and to give you a narrative of the birth of Christ. And I expanded on that and added in some of the Old Testament prophecies from Micah and Isaiah and different things like that. And then added in, of course, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then some other passages and some of Paul's writings and things, and fleshed it out. And in fact, you can find that available if you go to our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. There's a link there on that page for our booklet on the birth of Christ, and you can order that as an ebook. It doesn't actually cost anything. You can download it. There's links to that, but you can find it there. The birth of Christ as recorded in the scriptures. And all it is a compilation of scriptures. There's no added text of any kind. It's just that we put these scriptures together in a way that you can read a narrative of the birth of Christ. It's a great family devotional if you're looking for something for perhaps for your family to read on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, just as a family devotional. We read it every year. We'll be reading it Christmas night, the night of Christmas, December 25th. We'll be reading that on the radio as well. We read it at our church when we do our candlelight service, so we'll be reading that Sunday morning. I'll be reading it at the nursing home for our nursing home folks as well on Christmas Day. And it's great because it simply goes in one narrative, going from some of the Old Testament prophecies to their fulfillment in the Gospels, and just it fills out the life of Christ. You know, some people like to read passage from Luke, some people like other parts, but if you only read one or two of the Gospels, you're missing a lot on what the Bible says. And it's amazing, but putting these verses together, I didn't even have to add things like and or anything. You just string them together, and it's a very readable narrative, and it'll take you through the birth of Christ according to the scriptures. And so somebody reviewed it online, and they said, well, it simply does what it says it does. And so if that would be a blessing to you, let me encourage you to go get that. You can get it for free. Just go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And on the right-hand side of the page, as you go down, just scroll down a short bit, you'll see books by Pastor Al. And the first one is The Coming Arab-Israeli Nuclear War. Second one is Who is This Jesus? And the third one is The Birth of Christ as Recorded in the Scriptures. And then there's a novel. I tried my hand at a novel one time, Wildwood, An Age-Old Mystery Unfolds is there as well. One day I'll get the sequel to that done. I've only been working on it for about 5 years. I keep getting busy with other things, but the birth of Christ as recorded in the scriptures is there. Click on it. You can find out where you can download it for free. And I'm sure it'll be a blessing and to you at Christmas time if you want that. And we made it free because I just didn't see how it should have to profit. I didn't write anything. It's just compiling a list of scriptures to provide a nice readable narrative of the birth of Christ. But you can find that there at our website, livewithpastoral.com. Well, let's see. Wanted to mention that and to mention that if you are not doing anything on Christmas morning, believe it or not, there's some churches that are canceling their services on Sunday morning, Christmas Day, and because it's Christmas. Well, if your church is canceled and you would like to visit us on Christmas morning at 11 o'clock, we'll be singing some Christmas carols. We'll be reading through the birth of Christ according to the scriptures. And then we just have a time that we just light a few candles, stand around the room, and share a few things, maybe some blessings from the past year, and maybe something God's done for us or something we're thankful for. Or some people don't feel comfortable saying anything. They just want to light the candle and stand around the side of the room. And we try to show how that pictures the light of Christ inside of each person's life, as in each person's heart. We carry the light of Christ throughout the world, and we light up the world by allowing Christ to shine through us. But that'll be at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. That's where we meet, the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio. Like I said, we're midway between Akron and Cleveland, right where Interstate 77 and Interstate 80, the Ohio Turnpike cross right there. We can look out the windows from the conference room where we meet. We can see the toll booths for the Ohio Turnpike. That's how close we are to the intersection. We are right there. And so that's 5171 Brecksville Road, Richfield, Ohio. And we meet there at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. And we'd love to have you visit with us. And you find out more about that as well at our website, Late Night Live with, or I'm sorry, livewithpastoral.com. That's all you have to put in, livewithpastoral.com. We'll have it on our Facebook page as well, and other places that you can link to from that. So encourage you, if you haven't got anything to do on Christmas morning, we'd love to have you come out. And let's see, haven't given out those phone numbers for a little while. Let me give those out again. 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673, and we would love to hear from you tonight. And let's see, one thing I want to mention too, November is National Hospice, and I think the whole title is National Hospice and Palliative Care Month, I believe it is, or just short, National Hospice Month. And we did a special program on our local station here on Friday, November 23rd. No, it wasn't Friday, November 23rd. What was it here? November 6th, 18th, that's what it was. November 18th. I knew the 23rd didn't seem right. It was on Friday, November the 18th. And if you're curious about hospice, let me encourage you to check out that program. And we had a special guest, Philip Chapman, who's a chaplain with a local hospice service here. Actually, my wife is a hospice nurse. And I was at the nursing home today, and we had a dear lady that loves the Lord, and her daughters are in today, and we hadn't seen them for a little while. She had been in the hospital, and she's back from the hospital, and her daughters came into the service today because they always like to come with their mom into the service at the nursing home, and said that their mom is now on hospice, and we were talking about that, and I talked about how both of my parents had been on hospice. In fact, let's see, today's the 27th. Tomorrow will be 1 year from the time that my dad passed away last year, November 28th, and he was on hospice. And you know, people think that hospice means that when you go on hospice, that's it. Life is over. Well, my dad was over at our house on November the 27th last year, which was Thanksgiving Day, drove over to our house, and enjoyed some time together. He wasn't feeling good, took him home that evening, and the next day he had my wife come over because she works for the hospice that he was with, All Caring Hospice, great people, and here in Northeast Ohio, and he wasn't feeling good, and my wife checked him out and gave him some of his pain medications, which was the first time that he had them in the several months that he was on hospice. And by 5:15 or so in the morning, Saturday morning, he was with the Lord. And so it was a blessing to have, not only my wife as a hospice nurse, but some of the other hospice people that were there helping through that process. And as I was talking with these ladies at the nursing home today about their mom, their father had been on hospice as well. So it was a blessing to them to have their mom have those hospice services as well. And they all, of course, know the Lord, and they're all confident knowing that she's going to be in heaven. And so there's a great amount of encouragement. You know, we liken it to somebody getting on the airplane flying away. You'll see them again sometime. You might not know exactly when, but you have that confidence, unlike people who don't have that confidence. And we were talking about how much of a blessing some of these people who work with hospice can be in helping people, because most people don't go through the process of watching somebody die on a regular basis. There's an advertisement on one of the local stations here where the guy talks about, you only retire once, but so-and-so that does this financial planning thing, he helps people retire every day. And think about that in terms of hospice. You know, most people only go through it once or twice in their year or in their life dealing with it. But these are people who are professionals, and they have the compassion and the understanding to be able to answer questions. And so let me encourage you, if you go to our website at livewithpastoral.com, you can listen to the program. It's an MP3 file there dealing with the whole idea of hospice. And we talk about it from a Christian point of view. And it's not killing people. It's you reach the point where you know that there's nothing more that can be done medically, and it's time to just put them into the Lord's hands. And for a believer, it can be a very relaxing time, very encouraging time, and it allows people. It doesn't mean that you're going to die in 3 days or something. My mom was on it for, I think, a year and a half, and it just really helped and gave a lot of peace of mind to her and to our family. So I encourage you here as we finish out National Hospice Month here, the month of November. And it might seem a little odd thinking about it in regards to Christmas, but Christmas time can be hard. Thanksgiving can be hard for people who have lost family and loved ones, especially if they lost them during the holidays. So hopefully that program will be a blessing to you as well. But if you've got a question or comment or something you'd like to bring up here tonight, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And we've got Nancy calling in this evening. And Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. You know, I've been listening to the news, and I can't think of any specific Bible verses to bring this into a biblical perspective, but I'm sure you can. Jill Stein is, you know...
Oh, the Green Party candidate. Yes.
Yeah, the Green Party, yeah. She's supposedly raised, what, $5 million or some ridiculous amount.
Yeah.
But you know that she can't have that many followers. Don't you think that George Soros is really sending the money in, or maybe Planned Parenthood, or... the Clinton Foundation.
Oh, absolutely.
All of a sudden,
absolutely.
Hillary's jumped in to this fight. But I thought it was so interesting that Obama basically is throwing cold water on the whole thing, saying, well, the election's decided.
Right, right.
I was thinking maybe he's afraid that they'll discover a lot of illegal, you know, votes or something, or maybe it's just an act.
Well, it's hard to say. And for those who aren't familiar, let me interject just for a moment there. For those who aren't familiar, since the election, and Hillary Clinton conceded the night of the election, since the election, Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate, she has raised, since the election in early November, she has raised more money than she raised during her entire campaign. which sounds in and of itself suspicious, but the money's basically coming from George Soros, from the Clinton Foundation, and people like that. Basically what it is, it's a way that the Democrat Party was able to start the ball rolling on trying to get some recounts in several key states, trying to challenge the legitimacy of Trump's election as president. And it was orchestrated by the Democrat Party, you know, from the very top. And it could be that Barack Obama knows that it's doomed to failure, because one analysis is that even if they wrap up some of these states like Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania and to where that the electors cannot go to the Electoral College in December, I forget what date it is, the 13th or 18th or something like that, and they cast their vote, whoever wins the majority of the Electoral College at that election will be the president. And even with these states out, Hillary will still not win the majority. So it'll still be Trump. And even if they won a wasn't clear majority, or it was even a tie, it'll go to the Congress, and the House will pick the president. And the House, 31 states, I believe, delegations are controlled by Republicans. So that would be 31 votes for Trump and the other ones potentially for Hillary. So she would lose House.
Pastor Al, there's a lot of rhinos in Congress.
Oh, yeah. Well, really, I mean, and that's possible, too. I mean, and then the Senate will pick the VP, and the Senate's controlled by Republicans. But what this tells me as Christians, here's what we need to do. We need to pray. Mm-hmm. It's because Christians prayed, I believe, that Hillary was defeated in the polls. I think it's totally because Christians prayed. And too many Christians, I think, are willing, okay, we won, let's sit back, we can relax. No, we can't relax. We can never let the guard down. We have to be eternally vigilant. We have to constantly be in prayer. And, you know, that reflects what the Bible says, doesn't it? That we should pray without ceasing in all things, give thanks, but we're always praying. And, you know, Daniel chapter 2, Daniel recognized that God sets up kings and takes down kings. And, you know, God could have given us the candidate that we deserved, which I believe was Hillary. But instead, I think God had mercy and gave us Trump. Some people might argue that point.
More Christians voted. I truly believe more evangelicals.
More voted than in either any other
year.
Yeah.
But I do think that God was judging us by giving us Obama 2 years ago. But
yeah,
I think he brought in Trump, even though Trump isn't you know perfect, but he espouses biblical values, you know. Like,
oh, yeah. He's
well, you know what they are, pro-life. Well,
yeah, and when you look at the people he's nominating right now, he's got some great people that he's nominating. Jesus. Everything from his vice presidential candidate that he picked. You know, he could have picked an unsafe person. Could have picked a liberal Republican. But he didn't. He picked a strong Christian conservative candidate.
Obama had all these Muslims in there, all these communists, you know, that he
had,
you know, Van Jones and Valerie Jarrett's a Muslim. And, you know, his cabinet is filled with Muslims and communists. And here Trump is just the opposite. He's picking these really virtuous constitutionalists, you know, people that are, I know I'm sitting here.
Yeah.
Preaching to the choir, but I mean, do you think it is at all possible that that possibly Trump could lose through this? I would say that, and I got
probably less than 30 seconds left, but I would say that it is possible, but at the same time, it's not likely, humanly speaking.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think what it underscores is the fact that we as believers need to pray. We need to continue to lift this up in prayer, because if we're not willing to pray for it, then we can't expect God to just do everything. We need to pray, and we need
Excellent.
To educate people.
Excellent.
Hey, we're out of time Excellent. Tonight, and I want to thank you for bringing that
much.
Up. We'll talk about it, I'm sure, in the future, but thanks again. Thanks for listening. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.